able to be here. We will need our Bibles this morning. I'm actually looking forward to getting back to where we were needing to turn in there and do a little extra reading, more than just a few verses I throw on the screen. But so definitely get your Bibles out. Warm them up a little bit, because they haven't been used in here and near as much as I'd like to have over the last month or so. But I was telling Deanna, I said, I hope they're not tired of hearing about Job. I know we had a couple lessons, but when I was doing all the studying on Job, there was just so much of it that God said in Job. And there was just so much good stuff, and stuff that is so relevant to us today. And I was like, I need to make just at least one lesson on what God said to Job. And while I was making this lesson, I was thinking of a couple other ideas of individuals that the Lord himself spoke to that we could actually use today as well. So I probably will make a couple more of these what God said, to different individual lessons. But with Job, I'd like for you to turn toward the end, about chapter 38 of Job. And we're going to take and talk about really what the Lord said to Job, and in most of it, it's questions. He's bringing up question after question after question. There's 39 questions just in chapter 8 alone. 39 questions. And then there's 20 more questions between 38 and chapter 40, verse 2. And then between that and 41:34, there's 24 more questions that the Lord puts forth to Job. Questions to Job, directed to Job. So there's a total of 83 questions that the Lord really states or says or, asks to Job, and really his friends that are there as well. So what I want to do is just take a little bit and look at a few things that were brought up. We are not reading all three of those chapters. We're going to read some pieces of them. And we're not going to look at every single question, and we're not going to try to answer every question. All right, because there's like some big themes within that. But one of the first things I want to look at is this statement. And there's a little difference between each statement, but they're pretty much the same. The Lord starts off in Job 38:3, sort of to get that attention of Job. So like verse 38, or chapter 38, verse 1, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, all right? And, today I think mankind could use this, right? God just openly is telling man something. Maybe some more would listen up. I doubt they would. But here's what he tells Job. Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. And again, Job 40:7, when he gets ready to start another set of questions, gird up thy loins now like a man, I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. So really what God is saying is, Job, man up, because I'm getting ready to ask you a question and I want an answer. That's really what he's saying here. Now, like I said, there's a lot of questions, about 80 of them. But what I'd like for each of us to do is be thinking ourselves, if God put forth this to me, how would I answer? What would be my mindset on this? What would I declare back to him? So let's look at 38 verses 4 through 10. Because like I said, he just stated in verse 3, you shall answer me. I'm reading out of the New King James Version. It says, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding, who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched a line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors, when it burst forth and issued from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment, and thick darkness its swaddling band? When I fixed my limit for it, and set bars and doors? So, there's been this huge discussion, and we've not had a lesson between Job and his friends, and that could be a good thing someday. But there's a lot of back and forth. And then the Lord speaks up, says, Job, I want you to man on up, listen to what I asked you, and you give me an answer. So the first thing that he's really starting with You know, where were you when everything was made? All right, so you know, you sort of get the mindset, you know, if you go back and look at all the discussion, you know, mankind often gets bigger than our britches. We do. You know, and I was thinking when Terrence was, you know, taking and talking about giving, you know, and giving back to the Lord, he made the point, you know, the ideal, we complain about the rain. But who knows the need of the rain? God. That's not up to us. Sunshine, complain about the sunshine. Who knows the need for the sunshine? God. And that's the point he's making forth to Job here. You know, if you're so big, if you know so much, you and your friends and all this discussion, you know, where were you at the very beginning? Answer me that. You know, how was this done? You tell me. Don't you know? Can you tell me how that was done? You know, answer me these things. How does it all work? You know, how was this put in place? How was that done? How was it all established? Tell me. Tell me, how was it? You know, when you know, who fixed everything after the flood when the waters broke free and it was all put back up? You know, who was there? How did that happen? How did that occur? You know, if y'all are so great, if you know so much as the created, tell me these things. In other words, who are you to question me, and are you on my level? You know, I mean, that's exactly what he's saying. You know, I'm the creator of all. You know, I've built everything. I put everything in place. All this, you know, intricate workings of the whole universe, that was me. Can you get in there and tell me how any of it works? We need to be careful, really careful, when we question the Lord's ways. You know, and it happens too often. And again, I like what Terrence was saying at the beginning of the Lord's Supper, the ideal of sort of convenience type of worship. You know, people, they dive into the Word of God. And they get in there and they're like, boy, I like the way he loves us. And I like the way he wants us to do this. And I like that, but ooh, I don't like that set of verses. You know, I'm not willing to make those kind of changes. I'm not willing to live that kind of way. That's too hard. That's too tough. I have to give up too much. Lord, why would you require that? You know, I can't tell you the number of times I've heard people say, why do I have to be baptized? Why does the Lord want me buried in a watery grave of baptism? Why can't it just be sprinkled on me? Why can't it just be a pouring? You know, why is that essential? You know, again, they're just throwing all these questions out. Why, Lord? Why do you do that? Why? You know, we need to be real careful when we start questioning the Lord on all this, because who are we? I mean, that's the whole point he's starting off with here. You know, Job, your friends, you know, who are you? You know, when it comes to being on my equal, can you tell me how these things were done? Can you tell me the reason for these things? Do you even have a clue about why they have to be that way? But don't we get bigger than our britches and start thinking, I know best? I know that I ought to do this, or I should do this, or Lord, why would you require that? I think this is best. We do, don't we? And I'm not talking about just when it comes to worship. You know, the ideal of looking into his word and say, okay, this is exactly what he requires in worship, and us doing our own thing for worship. You know, this is every aspect of life, just questioning the Lord. Lord, why is that? Because he made it that way. He understands it fully. And we understand very, very little. That's why, you know, he asks the ideal, give me an answer. Don't you know? Surely, verse 5, surely you know. You know, if you're going to question me, surely you must know. But do we? Let's jump to 38, verses 31 through 35. A smaller little group of verses. And I sort of put these like the can you questions. Because, you know, surely if you can give me these answers. And, of course, he couldn't. There's no way Job could give him those answers. But here, well, can you? Are you able to do these things? So verse 31. Can you bind the cluster of the Pleiades or loose the belt of Orion? Can you bring out Maseroth in its season? Or can you guide the great bear with its cubs? Do you know the ordinances of the heavens? Can you set their dominion over the earth? Can you lift up your voice to the clouds that an abundance of water may cover you? See, there, Terrence, that's why I said you nailed that one, right? Like, can you tell it when it should rain? Can you send out lightnings that they may go and say to you, here we are? You know, these are all the can you, and I'm leaving out a whole lot of these questions, right? And I'd encourage y'all to get all of them because they all make great points. But the Lord's saying, you know, Job, you know, surely you must know these things if you're going to question me. Or maybe you've got enough power within yourself to change things and to do things. You know, if you're going to put yourself on my level with these questions and all, maybe you think you've got some power, some control. You know, so the question, like, can you control the workings of the universe? Of course the answer is no, but I mean, that's what he's asking him. Can you adjust the constellations in the sky? You know, talking about Ursa Minor, and, you know, the bears, and, you know, and all these. Can you undo, you know, Orion's belt there? Can you undo them three or four little stars? Can you just do your own thing with that? Of course the answer is no. You know, mankind, we have very little control over anything. Matthew 6:27, Jesus says, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Like you know, just me thinking about myself. Can I change anything just by thinking on it? No, you can't. You can't. You know, I can't just dwell on something and make something happen. But the Lord did, right? I mean, the Lord could do anything. You know, he spoke the entire universe into existence. And I truly believe when it's used the word spoke, the idea of speak, that's for man. That's for us to understand the action required. I don't think he's actually had to have a mouth and physically say it. You know, that's anthropomorphism, giving something man's qualities so that man can relate. You know, it's the idea of it's done. I made it happen. That's what's there. Can you do anything of that nature? Can you change the stars? Can you make it rain? Can you make the sun shine? Can you make the leaves turn colors? Can you do any of this? Can you? We need to have more faith and trust in God. Because way too often we put too much trust and faith into our own hands. You know, we get down, we get upset, we get scared when it comes down to I am out of control. I do not have the ability to change this. I do not have the ability to affect that. I do not have any power to do that. We don't. And that's the point the Lord's making to Job. Job, can you do these things? No, you can't. Why? Because I created you. I created all of those things. You have no ruling over those. I rule over all. So why would we not have more faith and trust in God and less faith and trust in our own accomplishments and the things that mankind does? He spoke everything to an existence, and we cannot control even the simplest of things. We cannot control. We think we can, but we can't. We can't control things. I guess on a daily basis, I get mad at our computer and our internet. Because I'm trying to work on it. I'm trying to make phone calls. And all of a sudden, bloop, it goes out. You know, then I'm apologizing to students. You know, I'm so sorry. And you know, it hung up on you. I know it took me 6 minutes for it all to pull back up for me to call. You know, I have no control over it. Even though it seems like, okay, he's the teacher. He's leading the conversation. But also, everything was cut off just like that. With me, I have no control of anything. You know, and that's how life is. We don't have control of things in this life. We really don't have control of our health. We don't have control of even leaving out this building and thinking we can get home. There's some of us that may not get home today. You know, people are driving awful out there lately. You know, there's just a huge chance that we go out this door and you may not even get to your car. You know, here not more than 2 or 3 months ago, the Freenies got ready to pull in. A car took and hit a truck, jumped the curb, went all the way back through to the power pole back here. It'd be just as easy for us to be walking to the car and that car do the same thing and run right over somebody. We have no control of anything. And that's what the Lord is pointing out to Job. Are you able to control all this? No. As men and women, we have little to no control. But God is in control of everything. Let's jump to chapter 40. Let's just read verse 2 and then skip down to 8 and read through 11. Chapter 40, verse 2, and then 8 through 11. Shall the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? Talking about the Almighty. So the one that could sort of stand up or argue with the Almighty? Can he really correct him? Verse 8, would you indeed annul my judgment? Would you condemn me that you may be justified? Have you an arm like God? Or can you thunder with a voice like his? Then adorn yourself with majesty and splendor, and array yourself with glory and beauty. Disperse the rage of your wrath. Look on everyone who is proud and humble him. So the Lord, he goes back. And really the point that he's making is, can you stand toe-to-toe with me? Can you really say, okay, Lord, I don't like the way you put something in place. Can you make me change it? Can you stand up and tell me I'm wrong? You know, if you don't like what I call right, can you say my righteousness is greater than yours and my judgment is better than yours, so you change to fit me? That's what the Lord's bringing up to Job. You know, can you say that your righteousness is better than mine? Are you going to annul my judgments, like the things that I have decided must be? Are you going to say, no, they're not, I'm changing that? But that's exactly what we do when we change any part of God's word. We need to realize that when we say, well, I'm not going to do that, or I'm going to add to this, or I think this is better, we're really saying, Lord, I don't like what you put in place. I don't like what you have decided. I don't like the judgment you have made about this. I don't like what you deem to be right and wrong. I want to do my thing, my way, and you will accept it as righteousness. That's exactly what we do. You know, anytime we want to change anything that he has deemed to be what it's supposed to be, that's what we're doing. We're saying, Lord, I am just as good as you. I can stand toe-to-toe with you, and you're going to accept it. Or in that sense, you know, if you're saying he's going to accept it, you're saying I'm better than you. I'm bigger, I'm stronger, I'm tougher. You know, and that's the point that he makes here. Have you an arm like God? That's what he's saying with that. Do you have the power? Do you have the power to contend with me? But you act like you do. That's why he says, do you have an arm like God? How about a voice? Do you have a voice that when it speaks, it's like thunder? No, you know, I got a loud voice. Y'all are listening to it right now. I don't really need that microphone. Y'all know that. But I have nothing compared to the Lord. The Lord can speak one word and flatten the whole world. One word, if that's all he wanted. Are you able to speak like that? Can you stand toe-to-toe with God and tell him what you want? Well, we sure do that, though, don't we? Go to the church of your choice. You know, go to the church of your choice. It don't matter. Lord will accept it. You know, worship him how you please. Whatever feels right in your heart, he'll accept it. Who are we to say stuff like that? Who are we to accept stuff like that and say the Lord will just accept it? You know, I mentioned last week about homosexuality. You know, June is Gay Pride Month, right? All right, I mean, we understand that. That's really being promoted right now, Gay Pride Month. And people, they say you have to accept it. And then you hear people say, the Lord accepts me the way I am. Who are we to say that when the Lord says those acts are an abomination in his sight? And then them say, well, the Lord accepts that. He loves me and he accepts me for who I am. They're saying, Lord, I have an arm as big as yours. You take what I tell you. And then they think that we ought to just agree with them and never say that they're wrong in that. We're doing the same thing. Then, Lord, you just accept them. It's all right. I won't say nothing to them. We're in the same boat they are. How we worship, what is scriptural, what is acceptable or not. We need to be super careful not to take and say, Lord, I am standing toe-to-toe with you and you'll take what I give you. The point the Lord is making to Job is, I don't have to take nothing I don't want to take. You cannot tell me what to do. You cannot tell me to change and me change. You know, that's the whole idea. Do you have an arm? No, we do not have an arm. There is nothing we can do to stand toe-to-toe with the Lord. We do not have the power to change God. And for us to think so is just plumb foolish, as we've been studying in Proverbs. It's foolishness to think that we can make the Lord accept what we wanted him to accept. In conclusion, let the Lord speak to us with these words. Like I said, I'm hoping to do one or two more lessons on this. Let the Lord speak to us. And let's do just what he asked for Job. Let's give him an answer. Let's give him an answer with this. You know, when we start thinking, you know, do we have firsthand knowledge enough to question the Lord? Do you? Give him an answer right now. You know, it's in your head. Do you have the knowledge to say, I don't want to accept that? Do you have the knowledge of how everything was put in place, the inner workings of the man, the inner workings of the planet, the universe? Do you have that knowledge? You can answer him right now in your mind, can't you? Should be a big sounding no. No, we do not. Can you change any of the workings of the universe? Can you change like your height? Can you change the color of your hair? Can you change what's going on 2 miles from here? Can you really change anything that he has put in place? Again, you can answer that. You should be able to say no. No. Now, there's things we can change. We can change our attitude. We can change our words. We can change our actions. But there is so much that we can do nothing about. Nothing about. Do you see yourself on God's level? If you didn't answer that one so quick, as soon as I said it, you know, you're fooling yourself. No. We are nowhere close on God's level. We are the created. He is our creator. Can you exchange your righteousness for his? Can you say, Lord, I think this is right. You'll just have to accept it because this is what I'm going to do because I think it's right. Can you exchange that out? Or can you say, Lord, show me what's right and I will change to fit your righteousness? If you think you can exchange your righteousness for his, again, you're fooling yourself. That answer is a no. No, we cannot exchange our righteousness for his because it is not right. Anytime we decide that we can worship him according to our own standards, we have stepped out of our place as the created. We have. God is creator of all. He is in control of all and worthy of all praise and worship. May we humble ourselves so we can truly elevate him. I'll leave that with you this morning. For those that have never obeyed the gospel, understand that you have not accepted what he has put in place. And you truly are not worshiping him until you decide to be obedient to him in all things and become a child of God. Maybe you have obeyed the gospel, but you turn back unto the world. In a sense, you have decided that your righteousness, your life, your decision is more important than serving him his way. This morning, decide to make that right and come back. We're happy to help if we can in either way. If you'll come forward as we stand and sing.